Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report, a special weekend edition coming at you on this Easter long weekend. I want to thank everybody for taking some time on this long weekend to join us. And even throughout last week, we had a lot of comments and I received a lot of emails. Again, I really appreciate all those emails from everybody. I am kicking off this show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. And going with the theme of this show, we are going to be talking a lot about this infrastructure bill that was announced this week and some of the market moves, not necessarily this week, but in a bigger picture sense. Jesse, let's start off talking big picture about not just the infrastructure bill, but all these fiscal packages and aid packages that have been rolled out over the last year, not just out of the U.S., but really globally, and not so much a shift, more of an even further acceptance from politicians and even citizens saying that, well, let's just keep on spending. I even have a lot of friends that are saying, yeah, you know, let's just keep on doing this, keep on handing out money. Seems like a bad long-term strategy, but I guess you can make the argument that over the last year, all this spending has helped keep at least some people afloat and some economies afloat. Jesse, where do you stand on really this acceptance towards more spending?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, it represents a paradigm shift in for so many different asset classes and everything. I mean, the congressional, you know, budget office estimated that the fiscal deficit was going to be $2.3 trillion this year versus it was close to $3 trillion last year. But that was before the $2 trillion stimulus that, you know, Congress and Biden passed a month or so ago, or 2 months ago, and before this infrastructure bill. So, I mean, add the $1.9 trillion for the latest fiscal package, and you're over $4.2 trillion this year versus $3 trillion last year in terms of just a budget deficit. And now you're talking infrastructure, and, yeah, I think they're talking about raising taxes to, you know, corporate taxes, essentially undoing the Trump, you know, corporate tax cut in order to try and pay for it. But, I mean, even if it just adds another trillion, and we're talking over $5 trillion, and that's just massive. I mean, you know, we're looking at, you know, a percent of GDP bigger than anything we've seen, even, you know, World War II or anything. So to me, I just look at this, you know, and people are worried about how we're going to normalize, monetary policy. Well, in light of all this, there's no possible way monetary policy can be normalized. There is not enough demand to soak up all the issuance of new debt out there. There's not the natural demand. So the Fed will have to continue printing, if not even increase the amount of, debt that they're buying in order to prevent rates from going up. And essentially means that, fiscal policy also probably will not be able to normalize very easily just because people are becoming accustomed to so much stimulus, you know, whether it's checks directly or, you know, the PPP stuff to businesses, you know, people are becoming accustomed to this, and it's going to be very difficult to normalize because everybody knows there's going to be a major hangover when all of these fiscal packages come to an end. And so there's going to be a lot of resistance to that even happening.
Now, what about where you anticipate all this new money landing? Because over the past decade, a lot of the money that has been printed does end up in the financial markets. Do you see that continuing, or on the back of this infrastructure bill announcement, which will take a fair bit of time, I think, to pass, do you see a bit of a change in where that money will flow?
Yeah, I do think, you know, we saw with and the stimulus we're seeing this time, the amount of money printing we're seeing just absolutely dwarfs anything we saw in the, you know, during the aftermath or in the height of the financial crisis. It's so much larger this time. But the other major difference is that, you know, so much of this is going into the hands of ordinary people. Fiscal is really taking the reins this time. Last time was monetary policy, you know, the Fed printing a bunch of money to try and support asset prices. This time it's, you know, it's coming from the fiscal side. It's coming from, let's put money into the hands of people into the tune of, you know, I mean, we're going to be pushing $10 trillion very soon before this is all said and done. But putting money into the hands of individuals is very inflationary. And I think we're starting to see that. We're going to start seeing it in the headline numbers very soon, but I think we're already seeing it in a lot of areas. I'm seeing it here in Bend where, you know, restaurants are all of a sudden opening up and they're up 30, 40, 50% over a year ago, and they're having a hard time just hiring enough people to keep up with, to be able to stay open. And so I think, yeah, we're going to see inflation really start to take off here, not just due to base effects over the next few months, but I think it's probably going to prove to be more sustainable.
Now, does that mean inflation in the actual government data, or are you going to be looking elsewhere for that inflation? It's an argument that a lot of people have made recently, or well, over the last decade plus, is that the government data just doesn't reflect true inflation, but we do need to consider what different markets move off of as well.
Well, that is a problem, and you know, partly I think the inflation numbers have been depressed here in the U.S. because of, you know, partly what the way it's measured and also partly due to the eviction moratoriums and things like this. So right now rents are, you know, have been declining in the number, and that does make a significant impact on headline and inflation. But when the rent, you know, the eviction moratoriums are lifted, we should see rents start catching up with home prices, which is already absolutely flying. And so when that reversal happens in the headline numbers, we'll also start seeing, like I said, these base effects, the year over year changes, just because, you know, March, April, May of last year was so depressed in terms of prices that the prices this year are going to be automatically inflationary looking, just because the year over year change is going to be so dramatic. But pair that with, you know, a shift in rents, where the rental figures are going to start catching up with home prices. And, you know, there are numbers, like you look at, you know, ISM, non-manufacturing prices paid. These types of things are really good leading indicators of inflation. And they're suggesting we could see 3-4% on headline CPI over the next few months.
Now, is that going to matter because of how big of a disconnect we saw last year with all those shutdowns? The market is expecting this.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, the consensus right now, at least at the Fed and, you know, a lot of MMT proponents and, you know, these types of people believe that this is just going to be transitory, that we're just going to see a big jump in inflation just because of base effects, and then it's going to go away. Now, that's certainly possible, but what I don't think many people really appreciate is that inflation is a very psychological phenomenon, and that it really can be a self-fulfilling prophecy, so that when people start believing inflation is, you know, becoming a reality, they change their behavior. They start buying things, you know, today rather than waiting a month because they believe they're going to be more expensive. And so that shift in inflationary mindset is something that's very, you know, probably impossible to predict. And I think all these people that are dismissing the sustainability of inflation are really, you know, betting against something that, you know, is much more of a possibility or probability than they would like to believe.
All right. Well, Jesse, we need to take a break for the radio stations, but I'm having you back on next segment. We are going to dive a bit more into maybe some of the market moves as well and commodities. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Jesse Felder.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Your weekly
fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I am continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, I want to talk about the balance between U.S. market stability and overall rates. Rates have been rising. We've talked a lot about it in the last, like, 6 to 7 months. We go back to last August. We have the 10-year at about 0.5%. And as we're recording this, 10-year was just recently up over 1.7%. That's an over threefold increase in rates. The argument being from a lot of the bears saying the market and the system cannot withstand higher rates because of all the debt that is in the system. That hasn't proved to be the case right now. Where's the balance, Jesse, between higher rates impacting the markets?
Well, we've been able to handle higher rates, but I think we're going to see the difference, I think, is that, you know, if in the past, if we were seeing CPI hit 3 or 4%, like, you know, I said, it could potentially hit over the next few months, you'd see the 10-year at 4, 5, 6%. And there's no way that the 10-year is going to go to 4, 5, 6%. 2%, you know, is already looking like, a short-term ceiling. Like you mentioned, rates have already risen year over year at the fastest rate ever. We've never seen anything like this. This is the worst first quarter for the bond market in a long, long time. And so, you know, the rates have already gone up a lot. And I don't think that the Fed, you know, can allow them to go up too much more. And so where we stand now is inflation is going to pick up. And I think in order to be bearish on the gold price right now, you have to believe that nominal interest rates are going to continue to rise faster than inflation over the next few months, which would mean, you know, if CPI doubles, goes up 150 basis points, we'd need to see the 10-year go up 150 basis points, you know, which would put it over 3%. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that inflation's going to, you know, is almost certain to rise faster than nominal rates going forward. If that's the case, that means real rates are going to come back down again, which is a very bullish backdrop for the gold price. It's that headwind of rising real rates turning into a tailwind once again.
So what about some of the other metals then? You point to gold, but in all fairness, on the back of an infrastructure bill and even really in the last 8 months, we have seen base metals and battery metals, pretty much every other commodity outside of the precious metals do very well. We've seen a bit of a pullback here, but copper is still at $4, and that's a pretty strong price for copper. Do you see this inflation that you're expecting creeping into commodities broadly, base metals, battery metals, what have you?
Well, I mean, commodities to me are one of the leading indicators of inflation. Copper is a really good example of that. You know, copper typically leads inflation, by the way I look at it, by about 18 months to 2 years, something like that. So, you know, you look at the copper price to me, and it tells me that inflation over the next 18 months, 2 years, is on a trajectory that's headed higher. And so, you know, to me, I think a lot of these commodities are essentially the, you know, canaries in the inflation coal mine right now that are pointing to higher headline, you know, inflation numbers that are coming. Now, so we'll have to watch, you know, what they do from here. Copper's had an incredible, you know, run, you know, as you mentioned. It's just blasted higher over the past 12 months, and it's probably, you know, people are a little over bullish towards it. It's definitely overbought. Probably, you know, deserves some sort of a correction before it tries to take out those highs from 2009, 10, 11. And so I think probably due for a rest. But the run that it's had already, to me, is one of those indicators pointing to inflation is coming.
So does that mean because you say that copper does predict inflation 1 to 2 years out, does that mean we're waiting for 2022, maybe 2023 for this inflation spike?
No, I think it does lead, but if you look at the correlation of the two, you know, core inflation has fallen far lower than where copper even, you know, over the past few years has suggested it should be. You know, right now, you know, copper, you look at the chart, and you know, if you just, there's a post I recently put up maybe a couple weeks ago, actually it was early March, Dr. Copper delivers a diagnosis of inflation. There's a chart of you know, what I'm talking about here, which is core inflation paired with the 12-month change in the copper price. If you look at this, you know, copper right now is already suggesting core inflation could be 2%, and is generally trending from there up to 2.5% and higher over the next, you know, couple of years.
Okay. So overall, I guess the theme here is all this spending you think will finally lead to inflation, and inflation picking up on a much higher level than it sounds like a lot of people or the government is even expecting. Can you summarize how that's impacting your investing strategy and if there's anything that could throw this narrative off?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the risks to the narrative is the fourth wave or whatever they call it in COVID. We're seeing in, you know, India is having a real hard time. Brazil's having a really hard time with the virus right now. And that's certainly going to impact their economies. We saw, you know, in the UK over the last, you know, 3-4 months, you know, they had such a surge and the lockdowns are not good for the economy. Europe is seeing, and we're seeing it in several states here in the U.S. So it's really a race right now between the vaccine and these variants, you know, the British variant, things that are now endemic in the United States. And so if we were to lose that race and COVID were to, you know, force us into taking, you know, more lockdowns and things again here in the U.S., it probably, you know, put a damper on those inflationary expectations. But I really do think, you know, we're seeing the vaccine rollout be very effective. We're seeing more plateauing of cases in most problem areas than even new surges here in the U.S. So, you know, I do think the inflationary dynamics are already well underway, and we're going to see them manifest in the next few months. And it has repercussions for everything. It's not just precious metals. You know, rising inflation to me means, you know, pinched corporate profit margins. We're seeing companies, you know, talk about inflationary pressures. There was a great article, I think it was in the Financial Times, how many companies are complaining about rising costs right now. It was one CEO or CFO in particular who, you know, said, we're at DEF CON 4 right now. We have not seen anything like this in his career in terms of the cost pressures they're now facing. So that is problematic to equities. We're starting to see some attractive alternatives with, you know, rates coming back up. It's not, they're starting to be an alternative to owning equity. So from a valuation standpoint and from a profit standpoint, inflation is very problematic for risk assets.
All right, Jesse, we'll wrap it up here. I'm very curious to see exactly how inflation does actually perk up, or how the money filters through the system to perk up inflation. But you've outlined a number of reasons why you think that will be a key driving factor to watch. It sounds like over a longer time period as well. Jesse, great chatting with you again. Jesse is the founder and editor of the Felder Report. I highly recommend checking out his site. And Jesse, we'll chat again in another few weeks. Thanks for taking the time today.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Strong job gains announced Friday, but President Biden warns they could be fleeting. Over 900,000 on-farm jobs added in March, exceeding expectations. White House economic advisor Jared Bernstein telling CBS News Friday even more jobs could be added through Biden's infrastructure plan.
For example, if you think about adding 500,000 charging stations, standing up an electric vehicle sector, trying to onshore what is essentially an industry that we'd love to grab global market share in, and that's battery production, you're talking about millions of jobs.
Biden warns those job gains could be wiped out if we don't stay vigilant in our fight against the coronavirus. He also points out we still have over 8 million fewer jobs now than we did last March. Meanwhile, New York City sets a single-day record Thursday with 93,000 vaccinations, and a new study finds the COVID vaccine is safe for those pregnant or breastfeeding, and their babies may also be protected from the virus. This is USA Radio News. Some discouraging news about the pandemic. Italy under a three-day lockdown this Easter weekend, the country averaging about 20,000 new cases a day in a third wave. Pope Francis's Easter message to be delivered to an empty St. Peter's Square. Also, Colorado extending its mask mandate another 30 days. More violence against Capitol Police. One officer killed and one hurt Friday. Capitol Police say a 25-year-old Indiana man rammed his car into a police barricade on Constitution Ave. Officer Billy Evans killed. Acting Capitol Police Chief Yogananda Pittman issuing a plea to the public following the shooting.
This has been an extremely difficult time for U.S. Capitol Police after the events of January 6th. And now the events that have occurred here today. So I ask that you keep our U.S. Capitol Police family in your thoughts and prayers.
The injured officer said to be in stable condition and expected to survive. Police say the suspect was shot and killed by an officer after lunging at officers with a knife. Green appears to be a follower of the Nation of Islam based on social media posts, but investigators don't believe this was terrorism related. This is USA Radio News.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am in this segment chatting with Mark Chandler. He is the managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Also writes the Mark to Market blog. That's where Mark shares his thoughts on a daily basis on economic data and key market moves. Mark, let's recap some of the key data and news that came out this week that I think we need to take in a bigger context, especially when it comes to the jobs data. The jobs number that was released on Friday, Good Friday, it was strong. We kind of got a taste of that earlier in the week, but there were a little over 900,000 jobs created. That's much higher than the estimate that was a little under 700,000. Mark, is this showing that the economy is coming back, or is this just a simple case of some more maybe low-hanging fruit because stuff is starting to reopen in terms of jobs coming back?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to frame it. It's not so much that these are new jobs being created. These are basically people returning to their jobs. And so we still are, and like you said, the March jump, over 900,000 jobs were created, people returned to those jobs, and the back months were revised higher. And so in some ways, I think that the data really confirms what we've all known. and that is the U.S. economy is accelerating. And, as, you know, it still has not gotten back to its 2019 peak. Even GDP sizes measures or in terms of employment. But this seems to be a big down payment. You know, the key part of this is the Federal Reserve says that they've linked their bond buying, $120 billion worth of bonds a month, to the, what they say, substantial progress towards its targets. And it's not clear exactly, and of course, officials won't be pinned down what does that substantial progress mean. But what the Federal Reserve is going to find is when they meet in June, the U.S. economy would have created close to 3 million jobs since they met in the and provided their March forecasts. And this seems to be getting closer to what significant progress would be. It still leaves us, at the end of Q1, we still are about 8 million jobs shy of where we were in early January of 2020.
So do you see these jobs eventually being added back? Is this a trend that we're going to be seeing here, Mark, where jobs are continuing to be added back? Because the one problem also with comparing it to where the job market was before the pandemic is that unemployment was very low, right? And we kept hearing that the job market was saturated. Are we going to get back to that level quickly?
I think you're right. You know that on the eve of the pandemic, the unemployment levels were at the lowest in 50 years. And so I think that we're going to reach a point where those the last jobs are going to be more difficult. Partly, you think about what's happening. You know, if we're going to be bringing back manufacturing jobs to the United States, that's really like how politicians might phrase it. But what we're really doing is bringing manufacturing to the U.S., and that'll be increasingly automated. I think last year was one of the first years they saw the robots being bought for robots outside the auto sector increased faster than the robots being used in the auto sector. And I think this is the future. We're going to bring back manufacturing capacity. That's important for all kinds of national economy, national security reasons. But it doesn't mean those jobs that come with them. And so I would imagine we're going to see that the increase in jobs continues next several months, maybe even through the rest of this year, but then begin slowing down as we reach its own capacity like we did before.
Okay, well, something to keep an eye on, right, is this job pickup, and it really does seem like the U.S. is leading the way. So, again, when you start to come out of these lockdowns, there are a lot of low-hanging jobs that can come online, but it was a good number to end that shortened trading week. Mark, what about this infrastructure bill? Infrastructure was on everybody's mind. We finally got some bill out of the U.S. government, and I think the expectation is it's still going to take a while to pass through all the stages of government, a lot because of the tax increases. But let me just ask you broadly, did anything surprise you, or is anything extra noteworthy about that infrastructure plan?
Well, I'd say two things. One is it's what a lot of people who think of themselves as progressive, that's what the kind of vision they had. They'd want more, but this is like big steps in that direction, including Amtrak, infrastructure, not only the material infrastructure, power grids, highways, bridges, roads, broadband access. So all that very positive. I think so I think however you want to come down on it, whether it's good or bad, it is a very bold vision. Especially given what the state of these conditions is now. But the other thing I point out is only half of it. What we've only seen is really one half of this larger infrastructure bill. It's been broken into two parts. And the second part, people aren't talking about yet. Maybe it's a week, 2 weeks away. But it will be like the other half of this that will focus on schools. It will focus on making permanent some other changes that were in the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill, earned income tax credits and child tax credits. And this is, and as well as expanding health care and expanding family leave. And so two big parts of this infrastructure. One is the material one, and that's what essentially was the what Biden has proposed last week. And then we've got this other one that's still forthcoming. And together, it's still going to look like close to $4 trillion. And even though it's going to be sort of spread out over some of it 4 years and some of it 8 years.
What's the trickle down into the markets, or even more importantly, into commodities? Do you see this infrastructure bill being enough to, A, support the aggressive move we've seen in commodities, and, two, drive those commodities even higher?
I think that the interesting thing that what's happening, I think, is that when I look at a lot of the infrastructure and the move to electric over the fossil fuels, it seems to me there are places a big demand on commodities that the U.S. doesn't have necessarily a lot of. And so, on one hand, we all know that the fiscal stimulus is going to create these growth differentials that's going to widen the U.S. trade deficit. But I think this infrastructure bill, should it pass and should it really like begin kicking off, it'll also mean a lot of imports. The infrastructure, we think of people building roads as really domestic. But where are we going to get that asphalt from? So machine, we can have the manufacturing build electric devices, but where are we going to get the copper from? And so what strikes me about this, and this is sort of the sort of an interesting framing of what's happened, is that a year ago when the world shut down because of the pandemic, the commodity prices collapsed. And China looks like they came in and bought lots of commodities. And partly because the U.S. was threatening a trade sanctions, and they were afraid of being isolated, and so they needed to sort of make sure that they had secure supply chains. And secondly, they were astute and used those commodities to also rebuild strategic reserves. And so here the U.S. comes a year later. And says those commodities that China's been buying, you know, we need them too, for our infrastructure. But because of the Chinese buying, prices for a lot of, and the reopening, of course, the commodity prices have already taken off. So the U.S. is not only going to have to import these commodities for the infrastructure bill, but it's going to be paying relatively elevated prices for these compared to, say, where they've been, which is how this commodity super cycle story is still being fanned. You can see this in a lot of the buy-side research.
Sounds like reopening still on everyone's mind and still progressing, which, I don't know, to me means that the broad markets will still be supported. And Mark, I appreciate your time. I hope that you have a very happy Easter and a good long weekend. Thanks for your time this weekend, Mark.
Thanks, Klaus. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale.com. or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with longevity. Teamgaday.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am introducing a new guest to the weekend edition. However, I have chatted with this individual and posted some of his articles over the last about month and a half now. I'm happy to report that I am chatting with Doc Jones. He is a private investor. As I mentioned, he has shared some of his research reports on some of the companies that he likes, ranging from resource companies to a recent energy or oil company that he shared with us. I have received a lot of very positive feedback on the back of Doc Jones' interview, so that's why I'm featuring him on this weekend show. Now, Doc Jones, we are going to jump around to a number of different topics, but I know a lot of our listeners do want to hear your thoughts on gold, and what I want you to outline is, look, the fact of the matter is gold continues to correct. It's now over 7 months, almost 8 months long of a correction now. What are some of the major factors that you think are contributing to this pullback?
Hey, Corey. Thank you for having me back. I think there's a number of factors that some investors may be overlooking if you look at the broad picture of things. If you start with the IMF have come out with their forecasts for this year and next year of GDP growth, and you have what's happened because of COVID, that you have the business cycle has been reset for every country, and every country is expanding at the same time. The last time that we had this kind of robust growth was after the Second World War. So we're looking at a great time in the economies, which means there isn't any fear out there, right? There will be inflation in the system, but primarily that will be in energy and base metals and materials. And if you're a gold miner right now, if you look at the cost inflation on your inputs, you compared to last year, because investors generally compare to the year before. You have oil prices from last year that have doubled. You have timber prices that are up 400%. You have steel prices at multi-year highs, aluminum prices at multi-year highs, interest rates that are higher, labor costs which are going up, and you have a gold price that has declined compared to the last year. So margins are being severely severely compressed, as well as you have the 10-year treasury that is rising consistently, and they've been recently floating in the media about a 3% on the 10-year to see how the market will respond to that, and so far favorably. And part of that too, that you need, that I personally think that we'll get a 10-year treasury at 3% within the next 12 to 18 months, because the Federal Reserve needs a tool for when we do go into the next recession to bring us out of it. And historically, that has been at least 300 basis points of cutting of the rates. And they can't go to, they're not going to go to negative on the rates. In real terms, you can have negative interest rates, but the U.S. is not very motivated to go less than zero on their 10-year. So these are all the factors that are lining up against gold's favor, and there's no fear out there. Why would anyone be afraid when you're looking at one of the greatest economic expansions that we've had in decades, right? And if you have a mind, your input costs are just rising, and people are looking forward and they're seeing, okay, higher interest rates, no fear, lots of economic expansion, so the trend for the gold price is lower.
Yeah, that's very true, Doc. And one other thing that I want you to elaborate on here is that your comment there, margins are getting compressed, even as some of these miners are building up some nice cash positions. But as you said, the market's forward-looking, right? And their costs keep on escalating while their product is actually declining in price. So this could be a very key factor as to why the large investors have more or less shied away from the sector.
Yeah, especially if you look at their highest input costs, which tend to be energy, and some of the forecasts out there, Goldman Sachs and Bank of America, other places, looking at a $70 to $80 oil price. You know, for all those mines that run off of diesel generators for their power, and especially open pit mines, it's a double whammy, right? You suddenly, your mine was profitable at, say, I don't know, 1,700 gold, your margin is 20%. Well, the gold price declines 10% or $100. You're making $200 an ounce. Now you're only making $100. But then you factor in these other factors of cost inflation on the input side, and you could have negative cash flow, right? So the bar gets raised as what's profitable, not only because of the declining gold price, but the increase of the inputs. So and those are hard things to model, because we don't know what could happen potentially with, for example, the energy price, which is one of the largest inputs. If we do get some kind of parabolic spike in energy because of shortages, then that's not something that people want to participate in. And you see it, you know, juniors will come out with a great drill result and they will sell off on it. Whereas last year, when I was 100% precious metals, by the way, I am by no means, I do love gold. You know, I'm not someone who says, oh, gold is a worthless asset. I think it's a very valuable asset. And it has it's done its job over the last few decades of maintaining its purchasing power. But currently, there's more risk on the downside than to the upside. And with the higher interest rates, that kind of absorbs any growth in money supply or inflation that you'll see in the gold price, where the inputs will be rising faster than the increase in the gold price, leading to declining margins. And this happened last time in the bull market towards the end for gold, where even though the gold price was $1,900, the margins were compressing because the input costs were rising quicker than the price of what they were selling, the gold price. Right. So that's kind of the balancing act. You know, if your inputs are rising faster than you can increase your prices, then that's not a recipe for success.
You are correct on that one. Doc, one other quick question regarding yields. As you mentioned, that there has been the whole 3% yield floated in the market. You talk to gold bugs, though, and they're saying the market, the system can't withstand higher interest rates because look at all the debt in the system. That will cause this big collapse and rush people into gold. You clearly don't follow that mindset.
Well, it's frankly not true. You know, they can print as much money as they want, right? That's a reality, right? The money supply has grown exponentially, but is the world still turning? Are economies still running? They are, right? So there's not a direct correlation of money supply growth to the rise in gold price, right? So that's really as simply as I can put it, you know. And when yields rise, it also makes it less attractive to invest or hold gold because gold doesn't pay a coupon. Or if you can get 3%, or on a 30-year at that time, if you got 3% for the 10-year, maybe the 30-year is paying 4.5%. So people will gravitate towards that.
So, Doug, I'm a bit worried to ask you this question, but do you think the gold bull market is over?
Well, I don't think it's over. I think with the amount of expansion going on globally that will take place over the next 2 years, I think I've prepared my portfolio. I have about 20% in gold equities, but they're just the ones that have a mineable resource at 1500 gold, that have a resource, right, that I can quantify and say, well, this company's trading for, you know, $10 an ounce in the ground, they're cashed up, and they have an excellent team, and they have the potential to bring in a resource greater than 3 million ounces, right? Because I think that's what the market needs now. They need a resource at least 3 million ounces for a major or mid-tier to want to acquire. And, you know, there's many different metrics. Also, you know, like Cassiar Gold, for one, their last drill program, their finding cost per ounce was around $2. And that's relevant because they already have a resource that's mineable. If it was just they found 100,000 ounces on its own, who cares how much it costs them to find it? Even if it costs them $1, no one's going to start a mine for 100,000 ounces. But they have about 1.5 million ounces now, you know, which could be a small mine on its own. And they have the opportunity to possibly expand that beyond 3 to 5 million ounces once they start drilling the Table Mountain, where they have a high-grade epithermal system there. So I don't think the bull market is over, but I think the next 2 years it will underperform, or a year and a half. Once the stimulus wears off and the market will start demanding higher rates, rates will have to climb until something breaks. And after things break, then the period after that, after we are in a recession, they start cutting rates, that's when gold will start performing again.
Okay. Hey, Doc, I appreciate these insights, and I hope everybody enjoyed this weekend show. Please keep all the emails coming. Fleck@KEReport.com. Doc Jones, everyone else, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend and a very happy Easter to everybody this weekend.
Thank you, Corey. You as well.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit KEReport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.